What if you could step through a pantry door and find yourself in 1958 with the power to rewrite history? Jake Epping, a high school English teacher living an unremarkable life in Maine, faces exactly this choice when his dying friend Al reveals an impossible secret, a time portal hidden in his diner that always leads to the same autumn day in 1958. Al's request is staggering. Go back and stop Lee Harvey Oswald from killing President Kennedy. Before Jake can dismiss this as the ravings of a sick man, Al proves it. The rabbit hole is real. And so begins one of the most emotionally complex journeys through time ever written, where the mission to save a president becomes a meditation on love, loss, and whether we should change the past even if we can. Time travel here is elegantly simple, yet terrifyingly consequential. Every trip through the portal resets everything that happened before, like hitting undo on reality itself. But there's a catch. The past doesn't want to be changed. It resists. It fights back. Jake discovers this resistance firsthand when he attempts to save Harry Dunning's family from a brutal 1958 hammer attack. The town of Derry, Maine, greets him with an atmosphere of wrongness, malevolence lurking beneath ordinary surfaces. As Jake stalks Harry's father, obstacles multiply with eerie precision. Sudden illnesses, mechanical failures, inexplicable delays. Reality itself throws up roadblocks. He succeeds, killing Frank Dunning before the hammer falls. But when Jake returns to 2011, he learns a devastating lesson. Harry survived his childhood only to die in Vietnam. The past can be changed, but never in isolation. Every alteration sends ripples through time in ways impossible to predict. This discovery should make Jake abandon the Kennedy mission. Instead, it convinces him that some changes might be worth the risk. With years to wait before November 1963, Jake settles into Jody, Texas as George Amberson, English teacher. What begins as cover becomes something real, a life richer than anything he left in 2011. He directs school plays, mentors students, weaves himself into a community that accepts him completely. Then there's Sadie Dunhill, the school librarian, with auburn hair and a guarded smile. Their connection starts with shared books and blooms into unexpected love, so deep it makes him question everything. At a school dance, they move in perfect synchronization to big band music while everyone stops to watch. In that moment, Jake isn't a time traveler on a mission. He's just a man falling helplessly in love. But love built on lies carries weight. Jake can't reveal who he is or why he's in Texas. This invisible barrier stands between them even as their relationship deepens. Meanwhile, he must balance this new life against surveillance of Lee Harvey Oswald, a volatile, damaged man living in nearby Dallas with his Russian wife Marina. Jake watches through binoculars, the political activities, the abuse toward Marina, the growing isolation. Is this really Kennedy's killer, or might there be a conspiracy he hasn't uncovered? The past continues resisting. When Jake follows Oswald to General Edwin Walker's house to witness an earlier assassination attempt, crisis strikes. Sadie's mentally unstable ex-husband attacks her, slashing her face. Jake must choose, mission or the woman he loves. He chooses Sadie, rushing to her rescue while Oswald's bullet narrowly misses Walker across town. History forces impossible choices. November 22, 1963 arrives with crushing inevitability. Jake, recovered from a brutal beating and having confessed his time traveler status to Sadie, makes his final attempt to stop Oswald. The past unleashes every weapon, car breakdowns, bus crashes, physical injuries, as they race toward the Texas School Book Depository. They reach the building. They find Oswald at his sixth floor perch. In the chaotic confrontation, Jake succeeds. The shot that should have killed Kennedy goes wild. But Sadie takes a bullet meant for Jake, dying in his arms as he promises desperately to fix everything. Jake returns to 2011 expecting a better world. Instead, he discovers nightmare: nuclear exchanges, environmental collapse, societal disintegration. The mysterious green card man explains what Jake has done. His massive change to history has created strings, tearing reality apart. Saving Kennedy didn't fix the world, it broke it. The choice becomes agonizingly clear. Jake must return to 1958 one final time, not to interfere, but to let history unfold as it should. Kennedy must die. Sadie must live her life without him. By closing the circle and allowing the original timeline to reassert itself, Jake restores reality and returns to a normal 2011. But the cost is everything he found in the past, the life, the love, the purpose that made him whole. In the novel's heartbreaking epilogue, Jake discovers Sadie survived without his intervention. Other friends arrived in time to save her. She lived a full life in public service, never knowing the man who loved her across rewritten time. Now elderly and honored as Jody's citizen of the century, she represents a life fully lived in the proper timeline. Jake attends the ceremony and asks her to dance to In the Mood, their song from a timeline that no longer exists. She doesn't remember him, yet as they move together under the Texas stars, something stirs within her, a recognition beyond memory, a connection transcending even the erasure of altered realities. This scene crystallizes the novel's deepest truth. Some bonds leave impressions across rewritten time itself. The love they shared in an erased timeline echoes into this one, creating a moment of grace that shouldn't exist, but does. Even when history is rewritten and memories erased, love whispers across the boundaries. This story poses a haunting question. If you could change your biggest mistakes, would you? And what price would you pay? The answer is both sobering and hopeful. We cannot escape history's consequences, but we can choose how we respond to them. Every change creates unpredictable ripples. Jake learns that true heroism isn't always about grand interventions. Sometimes it's about acceptance, about letting go, about finding meaning not in rewriting the past, but in embracing the present with all its imperfections. As Faulkner wrote, "The past is never dead. It's not even past." Our histories, personal and collective, continue shaping us in ways both visible and invisible. Yet within this reality lives a profound truth. While we cannot control time's flow, we can choose how we move within it. So here's what this story ultimately offers. Not an escape from consequence, but a path through it. Not a fantasy of fixing everything, but the courage to accept what cannot be changed, while still finding reasons to dance. In a world obsessed with do-overs, perhaps the most radical act is embracing the life you have, scars and all, and asking someone to dance anyway. Because that moment, that connection, might just echo across time itself. And sometimes, that has to be enough. It is enough.